The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Psychologists tell us that normal people do not dwell on the uncertainties of life, but instead live from day to day as if everything's going to stay the same, as if nothing bad is going to happen. Mentally healthy people do not worry about what could happen to themselves and to their loved ones, the illnesses, the accidents, the other calamities that are possible, but rather go on living from day to day in the expectation that they and the ones that they love will be just fine. And this is as true of Christians as it is for everybody else. Now, we all know that there is something wrong with this, something we could almost call dishonest. We are really deluding ourselves from day to day. The reality of human existence is that it doesn't stay the same. Life is contingent, and that means that it's dependent upon a huge array of factors or conditions over which we have absolutely no control. So inevitably, all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, all of us are going to face the kinds of things that otherwise we do not want to think about. As our chapel prayers so frequently remind us, any one of us can experience all at once a sickness, an accident, a threat to a loved one. Any one of us could be living his last day on earth. But we don't dwell on it. We don't want to think about it. In order to get through life, we have to pretend that life will go on and on and on, always the same. That is, until it doesn't and isn't any longer. Think about it this way. Let's compare human existence to a long voyage through space. We're all in the space capsule. We're hurtling off into the farthest reaches of the universe. But as long as the guidance system is working and the vehicle is stable, the people inside don't much notice and really don't care about how fast or even where they are traveling. But if one of those gyroscopes should misfunction and the cabin begin to tumble, well, immediately the people inside realize their predicament and see that they are going rapidly off into space. So they reach out for whatever they can grab onto in the hopes of restoring their cabin and their lives to order and stability once more. But that's how we are. From day to day, ordinarily, our lives are just fine. But then when calamity strikes, then we realize how weak and vulnerable we actually are. And so then we begin to grasp for whatever we can find in order to restore some sort of normality. I mean, we'll look to the medical profession, we'll look to lawyers, we'll look to social workers, we'll look to government, maybe even to astrologers and medical quacks, depending upon the nature and the severity of the problem. For when we are tumbling through life, we want help, we want it now, and we don't much care where it comes from. But you know, there's an irony here. For whether the space vehicle is tumbling or not, it's still going off into space. It's still headed for a black hole of oblivion. And so in a certain sense, the tumbling times are the only times when the passengers really recognize their true condition. But I think that's true of us too. Our lives are passageways through time, and nothing lasts. Our families, our jobs, our health, nothing. We are all racing into an unknowable and an uncertain future. I mean, uncertain except for one thing, and that's death. But only when our lives begin to tumble do we really face up to what our situation is, and what our situation is all of the time, including right now. Now, if that really describes the human condition, then I think the question immediately becomes, how should we then live? How should we then live? Should we be content to ignore the inevitable, that is, at least until it comes? I think many people, most people, go that route. They live for today, and they'll let tomorrow take care of itself. But really, is that all? Is there not another way? Somehow, can't we redirect the vehicle in which we're traveling from death into life? Can we, in fact, avoid the inevitable? Can it be done? Now, of course, when our lives are not tumbling, is the best time to think about it. And this morning's scripture lesson points us to an alternative, points us to a life of faith. Listen again to what our text talked about. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. By faith. Now, living by faith may look an awful lot like living the life of oblivion that we've been talking about, where both ways of life are characterized by a kind of calm and accepting approach to daily existence. But these two ways are anything but the same, for they achieve their calm approach in radically different methods. The one does it by ignoring the truth about man's existence. The other, however, faces up to that truth, accepts that reality by relying on the promises of God. The stability, the strength, the success of the Christian life all come from the outside, all come from God. Abraham could leave his homeland, Abraham could leave his family and go to an unknown place. Why? Because God had called him to it. He and Isaac and Jacob could live in tents in the promised land as foreigners because they were looking to a permanent dwelling place whose builder is God, because God had promised. So in each case, it was faith in the promise that made the faith strong. And why was the promise powerful? Because it was the promise of God. And this same God has made promises to us, promises upon which we can depend, promises upon which we can live. Now, sometimes this is extremely difficult. We all know it. In the face of our daily failings, in the face of our routine weaknesses, for example, sometimes even in the face of public shame and degradation on account of our sins, it can be really difficult to believe in forgiveness. But it is Christ who has died, Christ who has suffered, Christ who has redeemed us. The promise of forgiveness rests not upon ourselves, but upon the work of Jesus. Not what we see, not what we experience, but what he has done. Likewise, when calamity strikes a loved one for no apparent rhyme or reason, when the universe therefore is at its ugliest, and life at its most desperate, well, you know what? God is still there, and he still promises, I will never leave you. And we remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, nothing. After all, he who gave us his only Son, will he not also freely with him give us all things? So finally, when life is really tumbling, way out of control, heading toward the final abyss of death, even there, right at the center of that ultimate black hole, God is standing, and he's speaking, and he's speaking a word of promise of life and resurrection because of the life and resurrection of Jesus. In Christ Jesus, then, all of God's promises are yes. And that's how we can live, by faith in him. I think then that the psychologists are right. A person cannot live normally if he's consumed with worries about what might happen tomorrow. But there are two different ways of living this normal life. One is natural to us, but it's actually a lie, for it lives by ignoring what is inevitably to come, by pretending that human existence is secure when it isn't. The other way, faces the facts about life and death, and knows what is coming, but nevertheless, it lives. Indeed, it triumphs because God's promises in Jesus Christ are sure. And that you can believe. Amen.